Remedy, and welcome to episode 58 of Magic FM. I'm Gabby Spartz, one of your hosts today, joined by Mashi Scanlon, as always, and super special guest, Caroline, a.k.a. The Mighty Linguini. Hey, Caroline, how are you?
Good.
Caroline Kavanaugh. There you go. The Mighty Linguini. How are you doing, great. Caroline? We're stoked to have you on the show.
I'm excited. This is one of my goals, actually, for being honest.
Oh, yeah? We did it. Wow. We got there, baby.
Nice.
You love to
Mission
see it.
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I have a bingo card that of all the podcasts I've been on, and this was one of my squares. So,
Did we bingo for you or not yet?
I can't reveal my secrets.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I look forward to hearing to the bingo at some point. But yeah, we wanted to bring on Caroline to the podcast because she played in her first Zendikar Rising Championship. It's really hard because they don't have a good name these days anymore. Basically, her first pro tour. That is,
it's a PT.
It's a PT.
I think we can just, it's a PT.
Yes. Yeah. So if you hear us talk about a PT, we're referring to the Zendikar Rising Championship that happened this last weekend. But yes, that's what it is. It's basically a PT, and it was a big goal of Caroline to play in a PT, and she qualified. And she got there, and it's awesome. And so we wanted to bring her on here and just kind of talk about how that all went. Like from all the way from wanting to qualify to how was it? You know, it was this weekend and it was very different because it wasn't like the traditional pro tours where you travel somewhere and, you know, go do the thing. It was an online event. So we also want to hear her perspective on how that went. But first, let's intro you to some people that maybe don't know that much about you. Caroline, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe how you started playing Magic and where you're at with it right now?
Sure. So my name is Caroline Kavanaugh, or the Mighty Linguini. I've been playing Magic. Goodness, I think I looked it up the other day and it was at 7 years, I think. It's like 2013.
What set was it? Do you remember?
What's that? Yes, that's
always Dragons. Good. It was Dragon Maze pre-release, which I believe was May 20 or March or whatever, 2013.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
And so I've been playing for that long, but I would say more invested and more competitive for about 5 years.
Whoa, no question mark.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You're here on the podcast with Masha and I, who have not remotely come close to playing in the Pro Tour. So,
right, yeah, and I mean, you've won the VML twice in a row. Like, yeah, come on.
Oh yeah,
no question.
To qualify for the Pro Tour, aka the Zendikar Rising Championship.
Yeah, competitive.
Competitive.
So, yeah. I'm not going to let you weasel out of this. You
just got to say competitive.
But yeah, I think one of the biggest things that pushed me into playing more was Grand Prix. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I don't
know. It's been a while.
Only boomers know about Grand Prix.
And specifically the Modern Masters 2, the Vegas one, where there was those two 5,000 ones happening at the same time. That was my big push. Like, I'd been to local Grand Prix in Vancouver, Canada, which is where I'm from. But this was my first travel, like, wait, I can go outside of my own area. And from there, kind of the rest is history. Cause I actually really excelled at Grand Prix, not in the winning part, but in the socialization part.
Yeah. it's the best part of Grand Prix, if we're being honest.
Yeah, the gathering we're all missing now. Right. So
yeah, I'm pretty sure my Twitter profile says like here or came for the Magic, stayed for the Gathering, or something along that line.
Perfect. So. I love it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I remember going to the Grand Prix too and just it blowing my mind because it was such a big event. Like, I remember trying to, I actually got a game loss at some point because I was so far from where my event was that I didn't even hear it call on the speakers.
Oh, no.
It was that big of an event. I was talking to you, Mashi. We were talking about nonsense. And I'm like, Mashi, maybe my event is up. And I go over to the other side and I definitely had already gotten a game loss. So super cool event to get kind of started with all that stuff.
They had two speakers. Like, they had announcements for one half of the Grand Prix on each side. It was pretty funny.
I still managed to miss it. But
the announcements for one side weren't pumped through the other side. That was the whole point. That was so big.
It makes sense that you would miss it. It was pretty funny. It was so big. Oh my gosh.
It was insane. That I was there a week. I was there a week ahead of time opening Modern Masters packs.
Oh, like, to prepare boxes. For the thing.
Just opening boxes of packs. And I remember we would line up. We had a lineup of I think it was six or eight foot tables, two by two, just covered with boxes. And I've taken an X-Acto knife and walked down one side, walked down the other. I would have the Guinness World Record for most number of Modern Masters boxes opened. I did it for 4 days in a row. Just
That's
like really cool, actually. That's a very unique experience.
Cool.
It's a unique experience, something that you're not likely to do exactly like that again, I think. And that was like the scale of that GP was just absurd.
Yeah.
It was, there were so many, because I worked the event, obviously, and there were so many, there was so much planning and buildup and so much stress going into it. And I remember Elaine, my at the time girlfriend, now wife, was in town for a bachelorette party. And so we were sharing a room. And basically she'd get back super late and I'd be passed out. And then I'd wake up before she wakes up in the morning because I was so tired. And she stopped by on Sunday before she was going to fly out. And it was like Sunday at like 4:30, 5 o'clock. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God. And I had to sit down. And she's like, are you okay? I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I just feel terrible. Something's really wrong with me. And then I kind of sat for a bit and I'd already eaten and everything. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then it hit me that I think all the adrenaline that was pushing me through that weekend
faded.
Like we got there. Like the weekend's fine. The GP didn't blow up. Everything's okay. And then I was like, oh my God. Cause I was running on fumes.
You're running on fumes at that point for sure. Yeah. You just really feel it.
I wouldn't describe it. It was a Grand Prix for sure, but it was like no other Grand Prix. You know what I mean? Like that thing was just massive. It was a monster.
For sure.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I guess that's kind of where you started in the Grand Prix scene. But Caroline now does a ton of stuff in the Magic scene too, aside from playing competitively, I will add. Caroline streams on Twitch competitively. I'm not going to let you weasel out of it. Caroline streams on Twitch. And she has a really cool thing she does every Wednesday called Friendness Day, where she usually plays not Magic, but brings some friends over to play other games with her and stuff. So I'll make sure that we link all your stuff on the show notes if you want to see it. What else do you do in Magic these days, Caroline?
Let's see. So I started streaming a couple years ago, and my catchphrase for that is I always have a Magic guest, but we don't always play Magic. That's kind of the way it started. And honestly, it's been 2 years, actually, almost this week, which I can't believe I've tricked 2 years worth of people to
come into your
every
show.
Week, give or take a few weeks. Pretty impressive if I think about it. And from there, I joined a testing team last year called Team Segoy, which I have their sweater on right now. And from that, the opportunities kind of got kind of all over the place. I do some casting occasionally for a variety of different online tournaments. And I do some organizational slash more just like a hype person for a tournament called the VML, the Venus and Mercury League. We're heading into season 4 pretty soon, I will say. if I was to describe it in a tweet, it would be like the eyes emoji, like pay attention.
I like it.
Like season 4 is coming down the pipeline. And so I guess kind of to sum that up, it's like some casting. And I actually do have 2 podcasts, which is kind of funny. And then some tournament participation slash hyping in the VML, a little pet project, I guess. So kind of do a lot of things. But honestly, it's all related to the gathering. It's just all from, I need something to fill this Grand Prix thing. So
yeah,
let's talk about
the Grand Prix void.
Wait, what are the 2 podcasts? We should plug the podcast.
Yeah, I would love to do that.
For sure. So I have one with Team Segoy called FAM, Friends and Magic. I'm not going to say who named it, but it was definitely me.
I was about to say, like, if you told me it was anyone else, I just wasn't going to believe it.
Yeah, no, it's definitely me. That one's really great. It's a different cast of Segoy members. And we just kind of talk each week about different prep that we're doing or what our Magic kind of looks like that week. It's pretty cool. And then recently I joined, I guess it's really hard. I think it's technically a video cast. I don't know what to call it. But anyway, it's called Supreme Verdict. It's a panelist show with BDM, and then myself, Mani, and Daquan.
Oh, I remember seeing the announcement for this. That's so cool.
Yeah, and it's hosted on, oh goodness, UMG. There we go. I knew I'd get some letters together, which is just like an esports kind of broadcast channel on the internet. So we do weekly shows with them, and they're really fun. They're like four people, basically just topic. talk about it for 20 minutes, new topic, talk about it. So it's actually kind of really cool to do.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice,
that's awesome. Nice. Cool. I will make sure that we link those in the show notes as well. So if you want to check it out, it should be in the show notes for the episode. But yeah, Caroline's been super involved in the Magic community for many years now, from, you know, playing locally to going to the Grand Prix and all the stuff that she's doing these days. So let's get into kind of what happened here at the Pro Tour. But before we get into it, I'm just going to do a quick shout out for the sponsor of the podcast, ChannelFireball.com, has a new product out called the Magical Holiday Booster Crate. It's a really, really cool gift if you want to give it to a planeswalker in your life this holiday season. Every purchase of the of this gift actually feeds 50 meals to children throughout the U.S. through No Kid Hungry. So it's not just an awesome gift. It's also a very thoughtful gift because it does a lot of good. It's basically a Commander Legends booster box plus a ton of stuff. Sleeves, playmat, tokens, foil path to exile promo, two other non-foil path promos, Mutavault promo, a bonus foil promo soul ring, and et cetera, et cetera. It comes with a bunch of stuff. But it's a wonderful gift if you are looking for something for a Magic player in your life and also does good out there. If you are buying this during the holiday season, remember to use any of the affiliate codes for any content creators out there that are affiliated with CFB. We have a new promotion, actually. There's these cool tokens that can come in your order for certain content creators. Some of them are John Amari, Andre Strosky, Talia Vest, Riley Knight. There's 14 total, and they're super, super cute.
They're awesome.
They're so cute. I love them. I love them so much. They were drawn by Jess at Inkling Customs. She's super duper talented. She does amazing work. And I will link that in the show notes too, if you want to see all 14 of the tokens. They're also up. Available for sale on channelfireball.com. You can also buy a 14 pack if you just want to get all of them. But yeah, these are awesome gifts and new things available at channelfireball.com. So be sure to check those out. All right, Caroline, I want to talk about your goal for qualifying for the Pro Tour. What was this like? Like, when did you start wanting to do that? How did that look back then?
So I think I had a pretty big difference between when I first started playing Magic versus kind of where I'm at now. And that kind of started with sort of naturally, like I found out what Magic was. I went to FNM. We did drafting, like very casual style. I think I even played Commander, though I might have blocked it out of my life. We'll see. And then I discovered just through, like, I don't even know how I figured this out, but I didn't realize that A, there were other stores I could go to, and B, you could buy singles. Like, from that, I also didn't really know what Standard was, or Modern, or Legacy. And so once that world was open to me, and one of the reasons I was seeking this out was I found it was very hard to meet everybody's expectations in a game of Commander or casual modern, whatever it was, because I would want to win and they would want to win, but they were mad that I won in a way that they couldn't win. And, you know, just like there wasn't an expectation of we're having the same goal. But I discovered Constructed, and especially competitive Constructed, saying, hey, we both have a goal. And if you don't reach your goal, because I reached mine, that's not my fault. Like, I showed up to win with my Standard deck and you showed up to win with yours. And now we have an equal playing field. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have to put less powerful cards in my deck to kind of make you feel better and any of that. So once I discovered that I could be competitive around other people that also wanted to be competitive, that was a huge game changer. And from that, naturally, you find about things. At the time, it was PTQs. So sort of had to figure out what a PT was. Then they kind of switched to PTQs, which kind of was a step backwards, but actually helped me a lot because I really enjoyed the PPTQ system, in the sense that I had like three little stepping stones, like win a small local event, qualify for this like slightly larger, sometimes local event, and then, you know, maybe go to the PT. So I did that, and that was very easy for me to understand what to do. Like, I knew you have to win a PPTQ, you have to do well at the RPTQ, and then you get to go to the PT. And at the time, that meant actually go to the PT.
Yeah, actually go somewhere.
And I got really close. I actually lost in top eight of one of the last ever RPTQs, maybe even the last one. I'm not quite sure.
Damn.
Yeah. And it was like the closest I'd ever gotten. At the time was very sad. I think I even tweeted when PTs finally did end, and we switched to a variety of other names that are not the names we use right now. I think I did tweet something along the lines of like, I will never play at a PT, and that, you know, is sad for me.
I remember that. I remember your tweet from that.
It's still true. I am still, that is something like, I would have not played at a pro tour. That being said, this is the highest level of play tournament, the set championship. And I'm very happy that I participated, and it's still a cool goal. But that is still something, like, I'm not going to change my mind just because I did end up qualifying.
Right.
I think it's fair. Like, it's just different. They're just a different thing that was, especially COVID. Like, this one was extra strange, right?
Right.
It was not a PT, and it was in my bedroom. So.
Would you feel differently about that if it had been a live event somewhere? If you had to fly out to, like, London for the Zendikar Championship, would that feel more PT to you?
Yeah, I really do think so. I think... The component of playing with high level pros definitely happened. I can 100%. Wizards tried pretty hard to make us feel pretty cool and pretty special. That's going to happen, though. Mail is slow, so eventually we'll get swag. but yes, the location is a huge missing component. I honestly would have been so happy if it was even just Albuquerque or Richmond, Virginia. Like, it didn't happen.
If you just got to go anywhere.
Right.
Let me go somewhere. So yes, sorry to divert your question a little bit, but ultimately that's, PT has just been a goal of mine. And it's definitely changed over the years, but specifically 2020. But it is still, it was always something. I don't know, you just have it at the top of your ladder, or the top of your little vision board. I don't know, whatever you got.
I mean, we used to joke, Sasso, John, Channel Fireball president and CEO John Sasso and I, we used to joke years ago that we would take a year off. We'd call it the year that dreams come true, because he'd been on the Pro Tour.
Sasso has played at the PT though, right?
Yeah.
Didn't he play in a couple PTs? Though.
He has a top nine.
Oh my God, no way, really? That's horrible. What Pro Tour was it?
Oh, it was like an ancient Pro Tour LA. I mean, we're talking late 90s.
Okay, so it's a long time ago.
Super old school, super duper. I think it might have been Tempest. I'm not sure. He was in a Pro Tour. They drafted, you know, Homeland's fourth.
Oh, I feel bad for them.
It was Alliance's Homeland's fourth. I think that's what it was. I can't remember. There was some crazy format. So he's been playing forever, right? But we used to joke about the year that dreams come true. Take a year off when we had time and money and the inclination, and just grind. This is back in the old system. Grind PTQs, get on the train, you know, just have some fun with it. He probably would have done it. I am not good enough to do that. So I totally respect the dream. But I mean, congratulations, though. We hadn't said that yet. I just realized.
I guess I've congratulated Caroline a lot outside of this. Every time she comes into my stream, I'm like, oh, is it PT? Yeah. Not PT. Zendikar Rising Competitor Moosers, which is one of Caroline's nicknames. But yeah, for real, like, that was really cool. I'm super happy for you. That's setting a goal for yourself and then meeting that goal is just awesome.
Yeah. I was going to say, whether you kind of personally feel for that, no one can address that but you. But I would say, from the outside looking in, you hit it. Like, that was a pro tour. That is what we would call a pro tour now. And like, even like when we talk about Sasso's pro tour top nine, that's very different than getting top nine at a pro tour in the 2000s. And even, you know, getting ninth place at something like this event. Even, no matter what you call it, these events change. But I was excited when I heard that you made it. We met in Phoenix at the last, speaking of GPs, at the
in
last
2020.
Yeah, yeah, the last event
was that,
ever.
Was that the very last one?
That was the last time I traveled anywhere this year.
I believe there was a European GP after that.
Lyon, maybe? Yeah.
But I was heading towards GP Detroit. I heard that you actually made it to GP.
Mashi was on the air when it got canceled. I remember seeing when they announced it and they're like, GP Detroit. Because this was the week, for those who maybe remember, at the very beginning of quarantine when things escalated really quickly and they went from, would they cancel the event to there's no way they can have the event, right? Like, that was kind of the progression very quickly. And I remember you hopped in the plane and Mashi's like, I really hope that there's an event when I land. And it was a flight from California to Detroit. So it's a long flight. It's like 5 hours or something, 5 to 6 hours. And then mid-flight, we see that it gets canceled. And we're like, oh man, Mashi's still flying there, huh?
I was on Slack too. I could tell this was happening. Was like, oh my God. The last thing I said to Kevin and Mommy before I left the office that day, I was like, I'll probably see you tomorrow, dude. I knew it. I knew it was going to happen.
You could just feel it.
It was in my bones.
It's so obvious that it should have been canceled. I mean, it was pretty obvious even probably 2 or 3 days into that next week. But now I'm just thinking, there's just no way.
It's crazy.
I can't believe I was considering. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How was I considering going? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
we met in Phoenix. That was a really good, trip.
Yeah, that was a really good trip.
Oh, yeah. That's when someone stole my deck box.
Year too. And we rallied to get some of the stuff back.
Yeah, you did. I still have the deck box that you gave me. It's literally right here on my desk.
Oh, it's one of the Ultimate Guard deck boxes.
Shout out to Ultimate Guard.
Yeah, shout out to Ultimate Guard, sponsor of Team CFP. Yep. Team CFP.
Only the finest.
So cool. Yeah, that was a really good event. It was the last event also. Hopefully
we'll get
some more in the future.
We had a great dinner at the Arrogant Butcher and Caleb Durward was there and Bloody was there.
Yeah, Bloody was there last year.
Yeah. I just emailed Caleb accidentally a work email because we have a guy who works for CFP named Caleb. And there's all these questions. He emails me back. Caleb's so cool, man. He's cool on the other side of the play. He goes, hey, wrong Caleb. Hope you and your wife are doing really, really well and staying safe, man. Take it easy. And I'm like,
That's really cool. Caleb's a cool dude.
Let's talk about...
Oh, yeah. Go ahead, Mush.
Just event preparation and what you went through. I mean, I actually kind of have a personal question. Like, what is the... I always get nervous when I ask questions like this because is this going to be a super boomer question?
I'm ready.
What does Segoy mean? Is there a meaning behind that?
Okay, I think I know.
I think I can explain it too. I think
Because I know you've asked before. Yes. You've got a good answer.
So when I was asked, I actually got it. So Segoy is like something
great
or happy or like,
it's impressive.
Just,
it's like, oh, Segoy. It's like, it's impressive. Like, oh my gosh, you did that. That's crazy. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So Swagoy is just a play on words on Segoy.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And that's Yeah, what's swagging it? But it's just supposed to be a play on words, and the meaning's supposed to be Segoy. So
got it. Okay, well that's easy. That I get.
The main concept of this esports team is to take an amateur, and eventually get them into it like a paying esports team. Like that's their goal. They want all of their members to leave. Technically, they want them to get signed by the larger esports teams. None of us have done that. Spoilers. But we have built a nice community along the way, so I'm not even sure any of us want to go anyway.
I was gonna say you get to a point where it's like, well, I'm super happy with my team and now it's time to go ?
yeah
but
we're pretty team. Yeah, we have about 10 members.
Yeah, so I want to know, before we actually talk about the preparation for the event, Masha, I want to talk about how Caroline queued for the event, just because I think sequentially that goes first. So tell us about how you qualified for this PT, in quotes.
Yeah. So I've been participating for 3 seasons in a tournament called the Venus and Mercury League. It's a standard arena league for people of marginalized genders. Our first couple of seasons had between 20 and 30 people. And then season 3, we got 64 participants, a PT invite, which, spoilers, I have won. And then we got some cool sponsorship, like maybe from CFB with some CFB Pro, also that I won. And it takes place over 9 weeks. So we played standard with a different deck list each week. Every Sunday night, we would submit our deck list. We played round robin in little pods of 8 people. And then from there, with some standings, we played a single elimination top 24. Yeah, 24.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's a long league. It's a commitment.
It's really long.
You had to win 24 in a row.
No, because in your round robin, you could go often 5-2 or 6-1 would make it out of the.
I thought it was single 24 single limb.
Top 24 people. So you had to win your 24, top 16, top 8, top 4, so you had to win 6 matches in a row.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
It's the equivalent of a PTQ, except it happens over many weeks.
Yeah. But I won, which is nice. Way more powerful. Yeah.
Caroline won twice. So she won, which is funny because I was laughing when I was asking Caroline if she talked to her parents about winning this event. And I'm like, hey, mom and dad, that event that I was putting together, guess what? I won it too.
It's why I'm very careful to clarify that our role is a hype. Like, we just want to get it out there. We want to get people registering, but we do not do the administrative stuff behind the scenes. I promise.
Yeah. No, I think people in Magic understand that, like, the concept of putting together an event and then playing and winning it is totally separate. But to people outside of Magic, it can sound like, I was organizing and hyping up this event and I also won it. Hooray. Yeah.
How to get on the PT? Step one, organize a tournament. Step two,
win the tournament.
But and then you said there'll be an announcement coming soon for season three. Well, are you going to defend your crown here? Or season four, I'm sorry. Are you going to be defending your crown?
Yeah, I am. Sorry, did you say crown?
Yeah, I believe Caroline has an actual crown. No big deal. Is that so cool?
Well,
she had it ready on the actual night when she won. She could put it on for her interview. Yeah. It was so cool.
I bought this for myself after season two because we weren't very big, so we didn't actually have anything for the winner. We actually do have something for the winners, which is quite related to your current token thing. And how, so we have something coming down the pipeline where we will have some custom something.
Ooh, I like that. I like the sound of that.
More eye emojis.
Yeah. The eyes emoji, you're like, ooh.
Yes, season four is happening for sure. That I can confirm. And it will be something that people can register for in the near future. So
awesome. And also it has coverage. So watching it. So watching it is also really fun. I mean, watching you, actually, one of the coolest things is that I was so happy that I had coverage because Luis and I were rooting for you when you were playing and we were at the edge of our seats. Like, we were so nervous. And
I
get so nervous when I watch my friends when they're like playing for something important because you can't do anything. So I was just like, I can't watch. I don't know what to do. But then you won and it was amazing.
I do have a cute little story. I was playing and my roommate was watching coverage like in his room and I heard him celebrating, but I hadn't actually attacked for lethal. And so I just yell out loud. I was like, I haven't attacked yet. Hold on. And then I hit a tackle and then I won. But I was yelling at him to be like, don't celebrate yet. I haven't attacked. You never know.
Gabby, does that sound like outside assistance there?
No.
I don't know.
I know the like, oh my God, I don't want to count my chickens until they hatch sort of thing, because then you claim victory and then you just skip through your attacks or something.
Well, I can definitely see myself doing that. I'm so anxious about Arena's stuff.
I always get worried when I have it locked on the board in Arena. I'm like, don't hit the wrong arrow, dude. Just hit the big button. Don't F6 through your whole turn. I get so nervous when I'm about to win every time. So yes.
Yeah. Don't punt. No F6. No F6. So that is okay. How Caroline queues for then the Zendikar Rising Championship, which is awesome, by the way. Congratulations on winning the VML.
Yes.
And now I'm really curious about how testing went for this, because this is, you know, figuring out how to test for these big events can be really tricky, especially if it's like the first time queuing for one of these things.
I have good tips on this.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Okay, so here's the deal. You ask people or friends or whatever, you ask them for something before you actually have the qualification. So I am in a group. I am friends with like Matt Nass, Paulo, World Champion, et cetera, et cetera. And so I messaged them before I had won any of my top eight matches and said, hey, if I win the VML, can I test with you for the set championship? But it was free for them to say yes, because what are the odds that I actually win?
So, I mean, I'm sure also like part of it too for them is they're just going to be really happy to test with you because you're friends, you're good friends with them. So they're like, I think to them, it's not going to matter as much like, oh, like how much experience does Caroline have playing in competitive events, as much as like, hey, this is Caroline qualified for her first pro tour. How cool that we can help her test with us.
Yeah, they were very great from the beginning. But I'm just saying, you got to ask someone before it's possible. So it's easier for them to say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, sure. What are the chances?
Yeah. What are the odds?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I did test with quite an arrangement of time zones with people, because I think we had some of the Denver crews with Matt and BK. We had future hashtag WOTC staff Ben White's testing with us.
I saw that.
And then we kind of went further into we picked up Paulo in Brazil, and we go all the way over to check with like Andre and that kind of house slash group of friends. So we had we had that Winota deck, but we were all too scared. I don't know if you saw, but Stan played a crazy Winota deck for Standard, and we were all terrified, so nobody played it. We were all too scared.
It was how did you feel about the testing? Like, did you feel like, I mean, testing with great players can be good. It can be intimidating. Did you feel like, hey, you know, I've got to win these matches, or I'm just here to learn? Like, what was your kind of mindset going into it?
Okay, so I think generally I have to like reveal the secrets that I think people expect when you get a bunch of players that are super good in a room that they are very diligent and that they know all the answers to things. No. They were good. They did play a lot. But the thing I heard the most was, how do I do X? Like, how do I sideboard an X or whatever? And the answers I got from everybody, like to each other, they would all say, I don't know, man, it's taking me the last 60 matches and I still don't know. Like, they were so easy to say, like, you know, I just really don't know. Like, Gruul versus Demir Rogues. This was a matchup that they knew about. They tested both sides, even for the split, like the MPL splits and stuff. And they said, we just don't know. We still have no idea what to do. And that was so eye-opening for me, because I think it was just really reassuring that, like, secretly nobody knows anything.
Yeah.
They have instincts. They're obviously very good Magic players, but it was actually pretty reassuring to be like, wow, like, I can just say I don't know. Like, it's totally okay to be like, actually, I really don't know what this matchup is like.
I have a pretty funny story very related to this, which I had a very similar experience to you. When I started doing coverage and I first started traveling to events, and I just had this idea in my head of like what the pro players would be when they tested. I envisioned this very professional, like spreadsheets, like Frank Karsten sort of thing. Mm. I really just hyped it up in my head as like, obviously these are the pro Magic players. Of course they'd have a ton of spreadsheets. And of course they'd be very diligent about how they test. And let me tell you, it's not like that. I remember there was this one PT, and I forget which PT it was, but people were playing decks and they were just accusing each other of throwing the matches. They were saying like, you think the matchup is bad, so you're purposefully throwing, like you're losing on purpose. And it was just, the entire weekend was everybody accusing each other of throwing matches. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what are you talking about? Why would you be throwing matches? You're play testing. They're like, no, he just doesn't want us to play that deck. That's why he keeps losing with it. He's doing it on purpose. You're not even trying.
Wow, why didn't no one do that with the blue-green Karn deck?
That was the other experience I had when I saw it. When I saw them all hold hands with a blue-green Karn deck, and it was like they all jumped off the cliff together holding hands. One of the worst constructed decks that team played ever.
There was only two cards missing from that deck in Kaladesh. Like, in Historic, there was only two cards missing. Otherwise, we could have played it.
Oh my god.
Locking Ballista was the big component that was missing.
This card deck was awful.
Yeah.
My experience way back then, I think it was like during when it was the Shards Pro Tour. And it was like, I think Webb had qualified, Raptor had qualified, and Luis were there. And they would come to the game center and they would test a bunch. But it would be like, they'd be there for like 4 or 5 hours cubing. And finally, Luis was like, oh, we should probably test. He's like, yeah, let's draft. Like, why don't you guys try playing constructed? Like, you guys draft all the time. And then they like would not play any constructed. But I remember they would just cube for hours. And all of a sudden, classic Luis would be like, oh, yeah, we should probably get to that. It's like, yeah, you probably should, since you only come down like once or twice a week to do this. So, yeah, it is not, I think, I guess maybe I fell into the same trap where I thought maybe these are all old school players you're playing, like Matt and Asp, PB. I wonder if there's like a newer generation that's more efficient. I mean, probably not.
Oh, probably. I honestly do think that's likely. Like, these guys
I also agree that's probably likely.
Yeah.
But I will say, like, part of the reason why these guys can do that is because they are such talented Magic players with such great instincts for the game. Like, Raptor at GP Denver, the one... not last year, but the previous year. He hasn't been playing Magic for forever in a lifetime, right? He's just been out of the game entirely. But he just picked up a deck that weekend and like top eighted, or like lost one before top eight. And the entire tournament was him looking at his opponent's cards. Like, it just looks so clownish, but he's so good at Magic, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So he would play against an opponent and be like, oh, let me look at this card. Oh, I didn't realize this was in the format. Oh, let me look at this card. I have no idea what it does. And every single, like, he had a feature match, and it was just, he was picking up every card to read it. Just the most ridiculous thing, but in some ways it just doesn't matter. He's just one of the best Magic players ever, period.
Mm-hmm. I will say the Discord part did fill the whole, like, conference room equivalent. It was nice because I didn't have to, there wasn't any, like, leftover food wrappers or anything. Yeah. Like, it was all the talking and the hanging out with none of the cleanup. So yeah, that was nice.
That part's nice.
Yeah.
All right, so that was a little bit of the testing. I want to know expectations versus reality. Like, what was it like when it was time to play? You know, as we talked, or as mentioned before, you go to a PT, you have to travel somewhere, or you have to show up a little early. Maybe there's like jet lag involved. You have to figure out rooming and hotel and all the stuff. And this just didn't really have that. And I want to know, like, how did it feel? It was a high level competitive event. And a lot of people I've talked to say, like, this is the closest a PT's felt to me from the online ones. But how was it for you?
So one of the things about myself in terms of playing Magic is I actually do have a decent amount of anxiety. I didn't really realize it until Paper Magic was kind of removed. I'm like, oh, that explains a lot. So in general, Paper Magic, it's people watching is quite a big part of that. And not that they can see what I'm doing, but it's just the just standing behind me, and it's just like weirdly anxiety inducing for me. And so this whole year has actually been kind of great in that one corner, that one sense that I can play online and remove a ton of that anxiety. Even though people are still watching me play, it's like different. I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out. But either way, I'm happy I like the online play. So the online Pro Tour side was actually a benefit in that one sense. I was like, okay, there's a lot of that anxiety. Like when I woke up early, like I woke up at 6:30. So I still did that part for some reason. I literally wandered around outside to like go to a Starbucks, and I like stood in a parking lot for a while. You know, I joked, so I got the same like finding the, you know, the conference center, whatever, kind of convention center, I should say, experience. Mm-hmm. But in reality, I was just trying to like distract myself. So I was around. But if I had been at the actual hall, I could see myself getting overwhelmed because I couldn't, like, I could come back and turn on my iPad and watch a show on Netflix, or go for a long walk, or I could just do all these things that I didn't have to worry about that I couldn't really do when you're in like a random city. So I think overall the lead up, which is the part I'm mostly stressed about, was better. Or in theory, better. The actual games, I think no matter how hard I tried, turning off monitors, having only what was essential, turning off Discord notifications, etc., I still was distracted. Like, I find Arena a lot harder to focus on than Paper Magic, which is strange in the sense that, like, I don't know. There's a lot to see, but for some reason it doesn't bring just enough like seriousness to me in general. And so I tried really, really hard, and I still found myself like just not being able to focus on when my opponent was doing something. So that part was kind of like not great for me. So I think that's like a mix. And then of course, not being able to go and collect your friends as you finish.
Yeah, and find out how they did and stuff.
It's a huge part that's missing. We had a Discord call. Every round that you finish, you'd join the Discord call and hang out. And that works. Like, it's definitely the new normal, and that's fine, but it's just not the same.
Right.
Sure.
Yeah. But I didn't have a great record. Like, I think I got four losses like fairly quickly, like five rounds, maybe six rounds. And so I will say that I didn't have to tell a bunch of people face to face that I'd lost. So that was probably pretty good for me as well. Like, I actually took about an hour to craft up like a tweet and like figure out like how I wanted to approach kind of saying that I didn't do well. And that I couldn't do in person either. So I thought that was kind of nice too, that I got to take a second for myself, like calm down, and approach it that way. So there was definitely lots of like highs and lows. And
yeah, that's interesting. It sounds like there were definitely some cons and some pros to it being pretty different. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you said that doesn't surprise me at all, actually, is the feeling like you don't concentrate as well in a game of Arena versus the paper game. I find just from streaming, and this plagues me all the time, I feel like Arena encourages you to just play fast. Like the way the games play out, you can just, you can get into this rhythm where you're just like, play my land, play my spell, pass the turn, play my land, play my spell. And then you just aren't even like thinking, you're just kind of like playing stuff. So it doesn't surprise me to hear, I also feel the same. Like when I'm playing a paper magic match, I'm just like head down, like super, I look super frowny and I'm like with my cards and ready to play. And I'm not like that on Arena. I'm just kind of like doing stuff. But
I think it's really, it speaks to the UI of Arena too, because I think it's designed to kind of bring that out of you.
I mean, it's meant to be fast. That's why the stop system works the way it works, right? It's not like Magic Online where you could actually just like walk away for 5 minutes if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's definitely part of it.
For me, the biggest difference for me is when I'm playing paper magic, I have, for whatever reason, because it's all right there in front of you, I have a much better idea of what's in my hand. More often, there's so many times I'm in Arena, I'm like, oh crap, I forgot I had blank, or oh crap. Whereas when I'm playing paper magic, I just know, I flick my cards a lot. I'm one of those people, but I just know, like, I'm looking at my hand more regularly. And I think that's almost like, you know, I have like ad blindness on computers. Sometimes I feel like I just lose track of cards. And so what I'm trying to do now when I play is I try to like hover on my hand kind of back and forth just to kind of keep the hand in mind. But yeah, it is weird. I do sympathize with that. I think that I have the, you know, I wonder, three of us all feeling the same way. I wonder if this is very common where the focus.
I would not be surprised. And you know, I'd actually be very curious. So if you have experience with this, you can add us and let us know. But that is how I've experienced Arena. And while there's all these benefits of like, yeah, that UI is like pretty user-friendly and it's fast and the games are quick and they feel like they're flow pretty well, it does put you in this like, I'm just casting spells at random mode.
You do always know if your opponent has escape cards, though.
Yes, you always do.
Except that sometimes it looks like it's their hand and it's very confusing.
I really hate that. I really hate that. So,
or like, escape to the wild cards, adventure cards.
Yeah, it gets crazy. It gets so crazy.
The other thing that also doesn't surprise me from what you said is the, hey, when people watch me play, it feels different than when people are watching me through a screen. Because compare it to something like streaming, which I know you stream and you obviously know this feeling. It's very different if you were speaking, like standing upright and talking to an audience of 50 people versus like 50 people watching your stream. It just doesn't feel the same, right? Like 50 people watching your stream is like, I'm hanging out with my friends. What if you were in a podium, like holding my microphone? Like that'd be a totally different experience, right? Yep. I think it's the same with Magic, with people watching behind your back and just like you can see them like fiddling around and stuff. It just feels different than if people are watching you through a screen. Like you don't really see the people through the screen.
Yeah. I completely agree. Totally. I can hear their thoughts. Totally. Like, wow, I can't believe she played that land. What the heck?
Yeah. I mean, one of the things, this happened to me with BK a lot, where BK, when, this is back when we used to play at the LGS, he would stand behind me and watch me play. And when I misplayed, he would get visibly kind of fidgety, like he didn't like the play that I made. And so I'd have to turn around and be like, BK, stop. Like, stop watching my match. You need to go away. Because he would make me nervous because I knew I misplayed because of how he was acting. And I was just like, you gotta just step away from my match, dude. I can't take it.
Yeah,
that's hilarious. Because BK is so good, you're like, oh god, he's probably right.
Yeah, it's obvious. He's obviously right, and I just misplayed. Yeah. Like,
what did you have for lunch on the day of the tournament?
Okay. Well, I guess you get to learn a little bit about me. I don't eat very well when I play in Magic tournaments. So
that is not a healthy thing. Wait.
Did you run the tournament experience? So you just get like chicken tendies?
No, I didn't get chicken tenders.
Missed opportunity.
I did eat. The tournament was actually quite short. It was only 7 rounds. So I just ate a later lunch, like 3 o'clock. But now I'm trying to decide what I ate. I don't know.
Should have done chicken tendies, man.
Yeah.
That's like one of the big benefits, right? Is you can actually have like legit food, like good food. And
it's just a thing.
I will say it's hard to, like, when you're like on an adrenaline rush because of a tournament, sometimes you just can't eat. Luis, who's played in who knows how many tournaments at this point, for every PT he's played at home or every PT equivalent he's played at home, he just doesn't really eat that much food. He'll get burritos.
There's some video evidence that he's eating burritos.
I am dead serious, dude. I swear. He'll get these burritos, but he won't necessarily eat them. Like, he'll eventually find a time to do it, but or he'll try to eat them beforehand. But when he's playing tournaments, we just figure out food separately because he's just not eating on a normal schedule.
Yep. I feel that.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's just, I know that's one of the great boons. Like, I like talking to Huey with some of the stuff. He's like, I have time to go take a shower. I'm going to go play with LD. I'm, you know, it's just like, wow. So it's a very different experience, in good ways and bad ways. Like, I mean, I've had so much convention center food. I just can't stand it. So that's, and obviously all I think about and talk about is food. So that's an important thing for me. But, you know, do you think that any of that, like on balance with all these pros and cons, if you had to strike a balance, where would you kind of strike it for you?
Like, would I run it back?
Well, I mean, I know there's like this intangible, like I really wanted to, you know, you want to experience a PT, like travel somewhere, even if it is Albuquerque, no offense to anyone in Albuquerque. Listening,
yeah. And before Mushy.
And so like, there's that part of it, but on balance, cause you were talking about these pros and cons and I actually agree with all of them. They all sound like pretty, pretty legit. And I would feel the same way. How do you feel? Do you feel like for you, just for you, Carolyn, was it okay, better or worse having it be digital and at home?
Oh no. Okay. I think it is technically better that it was here, but I would cash all of the betters and all of the cons all the pros in for the location.
I'm yeah. with you. That, yeah.
I if it was here in Vancouver.
That really resonates with me.
I would just cash it in. I want to be anxious. I want to go, you know, go visit the bathroom right before my match because I'm just nervous. Like, I miss that a lot. Like, yeah.
Anybody who's listening to this right now who's been to a GP or pro tour with where we're at, what we've lived through, has to 100%. I mean, I defy you to disagree with that. I just, like, if it was safe, we'd all be doing it. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah, You know what this reminds me of? I've linked this thread here on the podcast before, but I wrote this little thread that was like, hey, we haven't been able to travel to Grand Prix, so I'm bringing the virtual Grand Prix experience to you. And it was this really cute thread. It was a really cute thread. But it's funny because if you read it all, like, so many of the things were not like the best experience. It was like the food at the convention center were all chicken tenders. The hotel room that you booked was really small. Like, we don't have enough room to sleep in. The flights to wherever we were going, they were all really expensive, weren't they? Like, it's all these things that are not necessarily good things, but collectively it's such an important part to the whole experience that it's like, yeah, even if these other things are a downside, the experience is with all those downsides, right?
Agreed.
Yeah. Experiencing it together as a community is a big part of it. The fact that you could say all these negative things and everyone's going, oh God, yeah, I've been there.
So
I've done that. I miss it. It's like, it's that rite of passage, right? It's a tribal, like, rite of passage going through all that. Now we miss it, even though there are times when it sucks.
Yeah, right? I can't say that I miss a convention center food, but I would kill to go to Grand Prix right now. Like, I would just buy my flight right now if I could. My God.
It would be awesome. Yeah. I mean, can you, if it were safe and there was one, I just feel like it would be huge. So many people who just want to do that would find a way to make it happen. It'd be pretty crazy.
Yeah, so I feel like there's a lot of parallels there for sure. Moving forward, I want to know kind of where you're at. You know, you set this goal for yourself, which you achieved, and that's incredible. But, you know, like, is that going to change the way you feel about competitive Magic? Do you want to keep jamming? Do you want to come back and be like, next time I want to have a better record? Or are you like, hey, I accomplished this thing that I set out to do and I'm pretty satisfied with that?
So I think generally the goal of reaching the PT was kind of secondary to the goal of trying to successfully survive 2020. And they happen to overlap because one of the things I've discovered about myself during this last year is I enjoy something to do on the weekends, which is often Magic tournaments of varying importance levels, from kind of, you know, CFB pro showdowns all the way up to this 9-week long standard league. Like, I've just done it all in various during the year. And I think I'll continue to do that because it's helped me have kind of a purpose on my weekends. I'm currently living by myself for a little while and or here in Canada, away from where I normally have been visiting Denver a lot. So it has helped me to do something that isn't work, that isn't sitting around doing nothing for 2 days straight. So I will continue to do Magic tournaments. It's a long answer to your short question. And if that means I get to keep trying to qualify for the next set championship, that is pretty cool. And I'm happy to do that again. And then once I do that again, then I'll be able to tell you what my goal is at the actual event. Though realistically, it would just be to do my best. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I feel like one of the cool things about, I mean, almost every weekend or whenever I talk to Caroline, she's always just playing in some event. Because if I ever end up playing in an event, which I rarely do, Caroline's always playing in it. So it's
sweet. There is one like every weekend these days, right?
Yeah,
like, any weekend there's something to play in.
I will say that as bad as this year has been with COVID and just destroying everything, one of the cool things is we have been seeing a lot of tournaments pop up because of it, including a lot of high level competitive tournaments and things like the VML, longer leagues, showcase tournaments, things like the set championships. And it feels like almost every week we can watch something really cool. CFB Pro Showdown, really just all these events that are happening now that I don't think would have been happening as frequently if we were living in 2019, for example. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think it has Magic has had to become more digitally accessible. And part of that has been like having just like infinite events, like every weekend. There's probably more than one event. I mean, there's just so much stuff going on all the time.
Yeah, actually trying to organize or like figure out when you're going to pick a weekend to have an event is actually hard now because there's just so many.
Yeah.
like this weekend. Or it's like, oh no, I have nothing left. What can I do?
I mean, that totally happens with the Pro Showdown.
I was going to say, okay, well, I feel like every time I hear the Pro Showdown is like, well, can it be this weekend? No, this weekend's this thing. Well, what about that weekend? Oh, that's an MPL weekend. What about this weekend? Maybe. And then there's definitely a thing. So, yeah. And it just gets moved around a ton.
I mean, 2020's been rough. This is just a bit of a divergent, but maybe it's because I've been paying attention to them more, but it feels like there've just been insane video games this year. Because like, Fall Guys came out, right? And then there's Among Us. I think Hades is great. Like,
you forgot Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing was incredible, Animal Crossing, dude. You can't forget about time, Animal okay? Crossing.
It has just been a crazy year for video games. So I don't know.
I think it's been a really good year for video games, but I also think that some of these video games becoming so popular was because of COVID also. Like there's a chicken and egg thing with Among Us, for example, where this game was old. Like it's not a new game, but I think the fact that Discord has gotten really good in the last couple of years and everyone's at home, doesn't have anything to do, then something like Among Us blows up and then this game, which we technically could have played before we weren't playing, we get to play it now. We're like, oh my God, this game is so much fun. And like, I know I've played a bunch of Among Us with Caroline. Caroline streamed Among Us on her channel. We've even played some with you, Mosh, when we did the CFB podcast game. Our where we almost won, by the way. We got very close.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think Mosh even knew how to kill people.
Couldn't figure out how to kill people for a long time. And then I finally did it and I killed someone in front of two other people and I was like, okay, that was just stupid.
but it was still really fun. All right, so we are getting towards the end of our time, but I wanted to see if you had any like lessons that you learned or any advice for anybody who wants to qualify to a set championship. Like what would you, now that you've kind of gone through that whole experience yourself, what would you have to say to them?
So I actually did write this down a little bit just so I could get my thoughts. I wanted to recommend that I think goals are really important in Magic. I think for some personality types, it's generally like this carrot or this something to look forward to. But I think it's really important, especially right now where there isn't a lot of in-between options. There really is just the set championship and a couple of the different qualifying tournaments along the way. But there aren't really Grand Prix that you can go to. There are other Magic events that you can play. My caution would be to set goals that are based on a type of tournament as opposed to a specific event. So a goal could be something like, I want to do well at a small tournament, and you can define that or not define that. That's fine. Then I want to do well at a medium-sized tournament, and then I want to do well at a large tournament. And then from that, you can kind of say like, maybe you can say, okay, CFP Pro Showdown, I want to make top 16, or I don't want to get eliminated on the first round, whatever your goal wants to be.
Oh, if you're a Juan Taco.
I'm not calling out anybody, don't worry. And then craft your goals around the things that you're doing instead of the other way around. I think just saying to yourself, I need to make the PT and I need to do it this year, is, it could be really good for your personality type. Maybe I'm like totally off base, but for me, it's just too much pressure. Cause then that year comes and goes, and if you don't do it, what do you do with yourself? Like, do you just repeat the goal? Like, I don't know. So my idea is like, just try and put generalizations on goals instead of very specific things. So that's kind of something I've been thinking about.
I like that advice a lot. I feel like when I first got into competitive Magic, which didn't really last for very long, setting goals like that for myself felt like setting myself up for failure. Because if you set a very specific line of like what you want to do and then you don't meet it, it's like, what do I do now? Like, I'm just so lost.
Yeah.
I need an adult. Someone help me, you know? But if your goals are more tied to like improving or like tangible ways of feeling like you're progressing, you can get a lot more benefit from that than just like saying, I wanted a queue for this tournament and then you didn't. And then it's like, well, I don't even know what to do anymore.
Yeah. And for me, I love goals and, you know, I do peg a lot of them to time, like 1 year, 3 year, 5 year. But one of the things I think is always really, really valuable to ask for any goal, if it's like, hey, I want to get on the pro tour, asking why. Like, it's a badge. Okay, but who's the badge for? Is it for you? Because this means you're a better Magic player. It's not the only way you can evaluate you're being a better Magic player. It's because you want recognition from others that you're a better Magic player. Again, it's not the only way you can do that. It's just because something you dreamt of when you were a kid. Okay, well, you know, then it's a little bit harder. But, you know, why were you dreaming that? Were you dreaming that because you wanted to say like, hey, I venerate like Luis or Kai or, you know, Finkel, and I'd love to be able to talk to them about Magic or be on that level and just engage with them. You know, maybe that's why you really want to do it. So sometimes goals can be like onions sometimes, right? Where they signify somewhere you want to be or something you want to accomplish. You don't know how to encapsulate it, so you tie it into that one thing. And sometimes it's so, so important, instructional, and valuable to say, why? Why do I want to be there? Because sometimes you find, wait, I didn't hit that mark, but I got everything I wanted out of it. And that's just been my experience in life, yeah, where I've had certain goals and I haven't hit them. And I'm like, oh, I didn't hit that goal. And it's like, you know, it's like, well, it's the joke is, hey, but you know, it was really the friends along the way that mattered, right? You know, like that was the real adventure. And that has been something that has happened to me so many times in my life where now I look at old goals I've had and I'm like, why did I want that? And it's like, I didn't get that, but I think I got what I really wanted out of it. And so for me, like being on the pro tour, one was a dream when I was a kid, but I really wanted to be good at Magic. So even if I was just became much better at Magic as I slowly very level up, I've gone to terrible to just below average. So I'm very happy with that. And it's like, that's kind of what I really want. I wanted to be good at the game. And I thought the Pro Tour was the only way to show that. So that's just my own personal example, but I think it's instructive. What I love about your message is like, you can't just have a goal and then miss and be like, what is it? Just game over now? Like, I, you know, yeah, like,
and, well, and to be clear on what Mashi's saying too, like it's great to, what would you, I think you said badge, but the way I learned it, you mean big, hairy, ambitious goal, right? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically that's the idea, is you set a goal that's really ambitious and you know that you might not achieve it, but even if you don't achieve it, you may have gone so much farther than you thought you could because you set this really goal.
I'm a big believer in that.
And I believe in that too.
My goal is to walk 100 miles and I never thought I could do 50, and somehow I got 80. I missed 100, but that is huge for me.
And part of that is also level setting your expectations, because the idea isn't that you think that you set this goal and then you'll achieve it, and if you don't achieve it, you're a failure, but also knowing that by having these ambitious goals, you might be able to go farther and also have an idea of what's going to happen if you don't meet that goal. And so level setting your expectations to that.
But all of this talk is about not meeting your goals. We have Carolyn here who did hit the goal. Despite all of what we just said.
Oh, I have a new goal. That's okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's the beauty of it too, right? Whether you hit the goal or not, you can always have new goals, but you just happen to hit it. And so congratulations for that. I mean, like, I'm so happy for you, because I've had that dream, I mean, for much longer than Dragon Maze. And I'm just glad that you did it, because it's just one, I mean, 2020 is not a year of wins for many things and many people, but I hope you just really treasure this as a win. Just because just having met you in Phoenix and then Gabby saying, oh, we should get Kellen on. It's her first PT. I was so excited. I was like, that is so awesome. It's a new generation of Pro Tour. It really is. And who knows what it's going to be? It could stay like this in the future, but you did it. You got there. You had a goal. You hit it. And it's a goal that so many of us have, right? Qualifying for the PT and playing it. So really congratulations. I hope you take more than a few moments to really kind of drink that in every so often that you did that. And then, you know, you can move on to the next thing, but drink that in. Enjoy that victory.
I will. Thanks.
Well, that does it for this week's Magic TV. We had our awesome, stupendous guest, Pro Tour competitor. Can I say that? Oh, Zendikar Championship, pardon me, competitor.
Zendikar Rising Championship. There you go. Zendikar,
God. That's why we say PT. It's so much easier.
PT competitor, Caroline.
Competitor, Caroline Kavanaugh. You can find her on Twitter at Mighty Linguini. You can find her on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheMightyLinguini, particularly on Wednesdays. So Friendes Day, and for some reason I read this because in the show notes, the NES is capitalized. I'm like, oh my God, she streams Nintendo. Like OG Nintendo Entertainment System on Wednesday. That's how I read that. I was like, oh, NES, there you go. But definitely check that out, twitch.tv/TheMightyLinguini, and of course, at Mighty Linguini on Twitter. I am Moshi Scanlon, the guy on the left, at Moshi Scanlon on social media. She is Gabby Spartz, at Gabby Spartz. You can find her on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/GabbySpartz. And we are out of time. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week. A very, very special thank you once again to Carolyn for joining us. And congrats, in case you didn't catch that, congratulations. We will be back Gabby and I will be back next week. Until then, be wonderful to yourselves. Be wonderful to each other.
Bye-bye.